This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Cornelis Prong speaking. In chapter 10 of the book of Joshua, we read the following. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast them down great stones from heaven upon them, unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with a sword. The making of a formal oath or covenant in the ancient Near Eastern society was a very important and even sacred event. This was certainly true in the case of Israel, the people of God. After they had been tricked into making a treaty with the Gibeonites, Joshua and the princes of Israel refused to break it, even though they had considerable grounds for declaring it null and void. But the fact that an oath had been taken in the name of Jehovah carried more weight than the fact that they had been deceived. Breaking a treaty, they knew, would bring upon them the displeasure and even the wrath of God. But having made this treaty with the Gibeonites, Israel was not just responsible for keeping peace with them, but also for the protection of these people who had now become their vassals. It was not very long before they were called upon to provide this protection. When the king of Adullam, Adonai Zedek, heard what the Gibeonites had done, he quickly contacted four other kings in southern Canaan. Adonai Zedek wanted to punish the Gibeonites for what he considered treason. The other kings agreed, and soon a strong force headed in the direction of Gibeon. Instead of concentrating first on the Israelites and seeking to drive them back, they wasted time and energy trying to avenge themselves upon their neighbors. There is a parallel here between what happened to the Gibeonites and what is experienced by those who are converted to God. As long as a sinner remains an enemy of Christ, he enjoys the friendship of the world. But as soon as he leaves the service of sin and Satan and is joined to Christ and his people, he can count on the enmity of the world. Then the new convert has to contend with that three-headed monster, Satan, the world, and his own sinful flesh. And how strong this enemy is! The Christian is no match for him. What must he do then in such a situation? Well, he should do what the Gibeonites do here. When they heard of the plan of Adonai Zedek and his allies, they immediately sent messengers to Joshua at Gilgal, asking him for help against the now common enemy. These people were truly amazing. First they managed to make a treaty with Israel, and now they don't hesitate to remind Joshua that the treaty entitled them to his protection. Would that our faith were as daring as theirs was. Yet God's people have as much or more reason to go to Christ for help than the Gibeonites had to appeal to Joshua for assistance. Once a sinner been joined to Christ by faith, he is under special protection. Covenant mercies are his by right, and covenant safety is guaranteed by him who said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. These are some of the promises the Lord has left to his church for our encouragement. Joshua recognized that he did have an obligation to protect the Gibeonites, and therefore he responded favorably to their plea for help. Immediately he issued marching orders, not before he first consulted the Lord. Oh yes, he had learned by now that before doing anything, prayer was essential. The Lord told his servant that the victory would be his, and with this encouragement, Joshua set out that very evening at the head of a strong force. The march to Gibeon was about 25 miles, and they walked all night. This shows how eager Joshua was to come to the rescue of his new vassals. Oh, what a picture we have here of the Lord Jesus Christ and his readiness to help poor sinners who call upon him. He is a very present help in trouble. Let us not hesitate then to send the messengers of our prayers to our great Joshua. No one who trusted in him has ever been put to shame. Wait for him, poor soul that seeks relief. Although his help may tarry for a while, it will come. Joshua and his army arrived very early the following morning. Before the Canaanite confederates realized what was happening, they were attacked by the Israelites, whom they were not expecting. This sudden attack created confusion within the ranks of the Canaanites. It says in the Bible, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. That means God so helped Joshua and his men that they were able to kill many enemies while the rest was put to flight, the Israelites pursuing them. It further states that they chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. That the Lord was indeed on Israel's side became even more evident when suddenly big hailstones began to fall from the sky, even more Canaanites than Joshua had slain with the sword. All this the Lord had promised when in Exodus 23, verse 27, he had told Israel, I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. These hailstones probably came out of a terrible thunderstorm, such as David describes in Psalm 18, verses 13 and 14, where he says, the Lord thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire, yea, he sent out his arrows, and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings, and discomfited them. These hailstones did not just fall upon the earth indiscriminately, but they were, as David says, like arrows shot from a bow. They were all aimed at the Amorites, and every stone found its target. What a miracle! While these hailstones were falling all around them, none of the Israelites were hurt, but only their enemies. Probably it was this incident that the poet of Psalm 91 had in mind when he wrote, a thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Psalm 91, verse 7. Here we see how the Lord takes care of his people, and how he protects those who seek refuge with him. The Gibeonites were afraid that the five kings of the Amorites would destroy them, but now the Lord not only protects them against their enemies, but he destroys them completely. We see here an illustration of what Christ says in Matthew 18, verse 6, whoso shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Because the Gibeonites had made peace with Joshua and the Israelites, entering into a league or a covenant with them, they had come under the protection of Jehovah God. Whoever dares to touch those who are under the Lord's tender care must face the awful power of Almighty God. Those Gibeonites, like young converts, could count on the help of Him who says to all who trust in Him, "He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of mine eye." What a warning is here for all who are enemies of God and of His people. To fight against the Almighty God is both foolish and futile. It is a battle that you must lose sooner or later. But what comfort is here for sinners who, like the Gibeonites, have their peace with God and who seek refuge under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He has promised, "The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. Amen.